No. It's not gonna start there. Hopefully, I hope it doesn't in absolute quietness and absolute silence. And I had a bit of PTSD when Rian asked me on Tuesday. I had to work through that. I think you can stop playing. I felt a song just on my heart that just came to mind yesterday. It's a song of Mervis. He sings, just, "You will find no walls in my heart, just an open door for you." And then it goes on to, "Come, Holy Spirit, just set me on fire. Let me burn with desire for the lover of my soul." And this morning, I just on what Rian shared, I was, when he asked me initially, he said, "Let me know what you feel." And I let him know what I feel. And then it had to change. He said, don't complicate it for yourself. Come in easy. And then I had another feeling. And then on Friday morning, we had a conversation, and I must say, walking away from that conversation Friday morning, I was a bit overwhelmed. I don't want to say anxious, but maybe it was leaning towards a bit of anxiety, and I had to just come and settle my heart again. And but the initial scripture that I felt just came to mind now when Rian shared this about this man Jesus. And it says in 1 Timothy 2, it says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher," and it goes on to say, "and an apostle." I'm not an apostle, so I would stop at preacher. So this morning I'm preaching the word. So for this I was appointed, and for this I'm standing here this morning. And I was so reminded in this week, and I'm actually encouraged and stand here with confidence, like knowing that the message that I'm bringing. And there might be pressure that I have to bring something new. And that's the pressure we sometimes feel, like we have to bring something new. And something that the world's never heard before, something that the world's never seen. And it's not about that. Like, it's a message that, since Jesus came, it's a message that's echoed. And it's a message that gone, as Paul said to Timothy, "What I've taught you, teach it to faithful men so that it can, so that they can teach it to others." And this morning I'm standing on that, and I can stand in confidence knowing that it's not my own message. It's not a message of my own authority. I'm not standing here in my own authority. I'm standing on authority given. And I was, don't want to go on this rabbit trail too much, so maybe let's So what I want to bring this morning, it's going to be quite simple. Like I said, it's a message that's echoing, PTSD. Let me just get back to my notes here quickly. I feel like if you look back over the last few weeks, there's been, and actually the last few months, there's been so many messages that's come and challenged our hearts, that's really come and that should have come and done something in our hearts. And we can be so quick to move on to the next thing and move on to the next thing and move on to the next thing and try and, but I don't feel this morning that I need to bring something new. I want to bring something fresh in the sense of like the priests bringing the fresh bread. It's the same recipe, but it's just fresh bread. It's a recipe passed down through generations, and I just want to bring that this morning. And the last few weeks, what I want to do is I just want to look back over, it's basically the last 2 weeks, and it might be more as we go along, but just what Rian brought last week about fixing our gaze, what Jonathan brought last week Saturday, and it's so crazy, like, have we experienced actually God pouring out the double portion? It's a question. I don't know. You can answer. Have you? Have you? Who's experienced the double portion yet? Okay, a few of us might have, but most of us have not. So it's someone that came in and he brought a message. It's an apostolic voice into us. And like, have we postured ourselves actually to receive that that which God is wanting to pour out? So if we haven't, why don't we move on to the next thing? So I want to look at that. And that's the reason I want to just look back a bit. Can I have some water, please? It's a nice thing. I'm still learning. And just learning how to flow through this a bit better, not get myself caught up in holes that I need to dig myself out of. So, yeah, thank you, Uncle Dave. Another one of those that I'm standing on the shoulders of this morning, of what they've brought in their life. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is how the pursuit, like how we need to be active in our pursuit of God. So there's going to be three things that I'm going to look back on in the past. So first one is we need to be active in our pursuit. So I asked Google a question. I don't usually ask Google for advice, but I wasn't asking for advice. I already had the answer in my heart. So I just asked Google, can love grow in passivity? And in my heart, no. I don't believe it can grow in passivity. And Google gave me the same answer. No, love cannot grow in passivity. It needs to be an active pursuit. Like that first feeling of falling in love, that can be a passive thing. Like we can't always choose that moment. But the pursuit of that that's been given initially, like that is an active pursuit and constantly. And we all know this. We experience it our lives on a daily basis. Rian touched on it last week, just how God gives us that desire, but then He gives us a desire to, or he gives us a choice to pursue that desire. And it's only in the pursuit of that desire that it grows. And like I was just thinking about it this morning, like how I used to smoke. Can you believe it? Before, my mom would always say, she can't believe it. Like, I was always enjoyed sport, said I'll never smoke, and then in university, my friend gave me a cigarette, and I felt terrible after smoking that cigarette, but for some reason, a desire was birthed in that moment, and I wanted another one. I don't know why, and I wanted another one, and I continued, and I smoked, and I kept feeding that desire until I came to a point where I knew, like, I didn't want to do this anymore. And it was before I came to God. And I needed to make that decision that I'm going to stop pursuing that desire to smoke. And it's when I stopped feeding that thing, the desire faded. And I mean, as it is in that, like, it can be in so many things in our lives. There's so many things that we desire after. Rian spoke last week, like, he lies in his bed thinking about winning the lotto. What an elder. Thinking about winning the lotto. Amazing. I'm not going to lie. I can relate to that. I've thought about it. I've said the same thing to God. God, if I win the lotto, I promise I will give it all away. All to your kingdom, man. Let me just... I'll just buy a Ferrari and the rest is yours, and a nice house, and the rest is yours, and a nice. So, and then the bill starts adding up, and at the end, God will end up with nothing. And it is, it's like we feed those desires in our lives. And I just quickly want to look at a scripture. It's Psalm 73, verse 1 to 5. When I was thinking about what Rian said, scripture came to mind, and he said, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud, and when I saw them prosper, despite their wickedness, they seemed to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like others, like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else." And this is a thing of, like, he had this thought in his mind that entered in, and it was this, and he started that envy is almost, it's also a desire after someone else, what someone else has. And he was, and he said, "My feet were slipping." And then it goes on in verse 17. He says, "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and finally understood the destiny of the wicked." And then it goes on in verse 21. "Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart forever. He is mine forever." And it's so beautiful. Like, it's the same, Rian said, like, how he was lying in his bed, and then he, like, slapped himself. He's like, "No, get out of it." And it's like, and then he starts praying for the kingdom of, he's like, "God, I'm rather going to fix my attention or fix my gaze and focus on what it is that you are calling me to. You've birthed this desire in me for your kingdom, for your people, for your glory. And I'm going to pursue that desire rather than the desire of having everything in this world but not having you." And this is basically this thing. He's like, my, he says, my, let me just get it, yeah. Says, "You can find yourself drifting, find your feet slipping, find yourself caught up in wrong patterns of thinking, but perspective, life-giving perspective, comes when we find ourselves in his presence. Are we making space for God in our lives by actively pursuing him? In the morning when you wake up, on the road, on your way to work, at work, with family, with friends, are you conscious of God? Like, are you actively pursuing God instead of pursuing other things?" Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And those desires are maybe not what you think it will be. Once you've delighted yourself in him, those desires might change. And yeah, so the question is this morning is, are you actually conscious of God in your life? Once he's placed that desire in your life or in your heart for him, are you feeding that desire by actually pursuing him, by running after him, by spending time in His Word, by spending time in prayer. A relationship can only grow. A relationship with my wife can only grow if I spend time with her, if I have a conversation with her, if I know what's going on in her life. And it's like, God is always there. He's always faithful, always pursuing us. Like if He wasn't pursuing us, like Rian said this morning, if it wasn't for Him pursuing us first, for seeking us first, for coming to call us out, like we actually have nothing, and He's still doing that. And it's like, oh, we actually also actively pursuing that relationship with God. Are we actively pursuing and growing in our knowledge of who He is? So, yeah, that's the first thing that I really just wanted to touch on this morning, is the pursuit of God is an active process. It's always busy, it's always growing. And are we actively pursuing Him? Well, the second thing I wanted to look at was, the heading I put up here is counting the cost. And last week, Saturday, Jonathan shared the message of Elijah and Elisha. And like I said earlier, the double portion. And most of us did not put up our hands when I asked, have you received the double portion? I don't necessarily feel like I did not wake up this week, 8 days into being an elder. I can confirm what they have said is true, that I've heard multiple times off the pulpit, is that they do not glow in the dark. I still have to put on my light if I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So, hey? Doing it wrong. Okay, sorry. But Martin is different. He's got a special anointing. And I mean, this double portion, like, you sit there and you're like, it sounds amazing. And I do believe that it is there for us. And the reason I believe this is not because Jonathan shared it. Like, I was thinking about it yesterday, and just this thought of what God did for Elijah and for Elisha was for one nation. It was for His people, Israel. Jesus has come into the earth, and He's poured out, like He's died, rose again, given His Spirit, and now it's accessible to all nations. So it's not just for one nation anymore. So it is actually something that naturally there is abundance. Naturally there should be more. And are we posturing ourselves for God to actually come and pour out His Spirit into our lives? And I think Rian has probably shared that scripture 20 times in the last 2 months, Luke 12, like how it is our Father's great happiness to give us the kingdom. Like He wants to give it to us. Jesus said in John 14, because I'm going to the Father, if you believe in the works that you have seen, you will do even greater things. But do we actually believe that it's true? Do we believe, like Rihanna said in that scripture in Luke 12, that God wants to give us the kingdom? God wants to give us abundantly more than we can ever think or imagine. But in what Jonathan shared last week, he said, and this is the point of this section, is it's counting the cost. Like, how do we posture ourselves to actually receive what God wants to pour out? And he said this, it starts with an act of arson. I hope my pronunciation of that was nice, because my lips are a bit dry. But yeah, it starts with an act of arson. So just put up there 1 Kings 19, He read the scripture. He said, so Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Amazing. Elisha knew exactly what was happening. He just got his cloak. Didn't have to say a word. And Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast the flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. And this is where it started. Like, later on, it starts with this thing of, like, recognizing that God has called. But once he's called, like, he also asks that we need to lay down. We also need to give something up. And this morning, it's again that thing of, like, what are you willing to lay on the altar? What are you willing to sacrifice for God to actually come and pour out? Like, it is Rian shared this last week that God's blessing adds no sorrow. And I believe it's true in this regard as well. It's like, what God gives, it's in a way. It's like, what he takes away, he will give something, and it will not make us miss that thing. It will add blessing. It will add joy. And it will make us able to run for him. But we need to count that cost. Sorry. It went from very soft to very loud, probably. And then in 2 Kings 2, verse 9 and 11, 9 to 10, this happens. He says, When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elijah, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I'm taken away, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. And he got to see Elijah being taken away, and he received the double portion. But it was not because of that. It was actually because the moment Elijah came and put that cloak on him, he recognized the call of God, and he recognized that he needed to lay down whatever it was that God that he had at that moment, so that he can take up what God is calling him to. And as I said this morning, is what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice? And it might not happen. It might not be that this double portion will be poured out today or tomorrow or the day after. It might be a season where God is preparing us for what he actually wants to do. But it starts with that thing of us actually laying our lives down. Laying down what we hold so dearly to. And running after what it is. And only when we do that, we can actually ask for boldness the way that Elisha had boldness to ask. He had boldness to ask, give me a double portion. That's what I want. And Elijah said, it's a difficult thing, but it can be given. So, yeah. Very dry mouth. Can double the water in my mouth. Yeah. It's a good idea. I'm just scared I kick it. Yeah, so that was the second thing. It's amazing actually how fast time goes here. You think you're gonna be here. Think you're gonna be here for like these 3 points probably going to take 10 minutes, and then Rian's going to be quite unhappy because I only preach for 10 minutes. And then I look at the clock, I'm like, I've been here for like 22 minutes. It's actually insane. So the last thing I want to look at is, so once we've kind of recognized that God has given us that desire, recognized that God has placed something, recognized that God has called us, and we've been willing to count the cost of following Him, there's a moment, and Rian said it, it's we receive and then we go. But I just believe in this context, it's then receiving what God wants to give and responding to what He gives in that sense. And we've been seeing pictures of, or hearing pictures of, the sower and the seed, and that is it. It's once the ground is ready to receive. Wimpy shared a scripture in community on Wednesday night, Mark 4:27. Can you quickly put that up? Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, I think it starts in 26 maybe. Can you put up 26 please, Quentin? The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. And we spoke about this on Wednesday night, and it's been this, Rian shared it last week as well with the forgetting now, 20, 60, 100 fold. I can't remember exactly the increments, but a lot more. And it's to say, once the nature does not have the ability to choose how it produces. And I do believe it's true for nature, but I do believe in our lives, as we give ourselves to God and as we prepare ground for Him to actually come and to come and work and come and sow seeds in our lives, what He places into our hearts, it actually doesn't have a choice but to produce. Because God's word does not return void to Him. What He starts, He will complete. And so, yeah. I actually don't have to say more on that. It is for us to actually come before God. And just, I think that's sometimes a difficult thing for us to do. I know in my life, like, I can look at it and I don't always find it easy to receive. Like, I always try and push away a bit. And it's actually for us to receive what God is wanting to give. And there will be a natural response. But once the response comes, it's also like, if the seed has been planted, it grows, but there's still the potential for weeds and all kinds of nonsense to grow around it, and for the tree to not bear good fruit, because we don't tend to our lives. We don't continually, the process almost starts all over again, or it never stops. It's perpetual. It just goes and goes. It's like we constantly need to pursue and need to recognize things in our lives that will cause us not to produce good fruit. So, yeah, I think that's basically all I want to share this morning. I don't believe it's something that we need to complicate. Maybe just close our eyes for a moment. Sorry if I came in with a bit of a hard landing. now. But yeah, I do believe there's something for God to come and work in our hearts this morning. Maybe, yeah, I do want to start here. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and like I spoke earlier about desire. And Rian shared last week as well about how every single person in the world has that feeling of wanting to know God. You can try and suppress it as much as you want. And this morning, if there's maybe something in your heart of like, man, I've had a desire to know God, to want to know Him. And I want to respond this morning to that. Yeah, so we spoke this morning about how this man, Christ Jesus, came and he gave himself up. If there's a desire, if you've never responded to Jesus this morning, if there's a desire in your heart this morning to say, Lord, I want to respond to you. I want to pursue a relationship with you. I want to pursue a life of getting to know you, of seeing what it is that they're talking about. This double portion. This running for the kingdom of God. This beautiful inheritance of knowing Jesus. If that's you, you can just maybe put your hand up. If God is doing something in your heart, saying, Lord, I want to respond to you. Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you that you are always active in your pursuit of us. Lord, that your eyes are always searching, looking for the one who will respond. Lord, I pray this morning as this reminder came, Lord, just a bringing to mind of what has been said in the last few weeks. Lord, that it will open up something in our hearts of wanting to respond to you. That it will open something in our hearts of wanting to pursue that desire that you've placed in us. Lord, that our hearts will not grow cold, Lord, but will burn with a fire. To pursue the relationship that you've opened us, opened up for us to have with you.
Yeah, just as we, I would love for us to get in.